Hello and welcome to another episode of Wrapped Radio. My name is Lindo Butelezi. In today's episode, I'm joined by Zinhle Njikelana, who is an entrepreneur, and we'll be talking a little bit about slow fashion, becoming conscious shoppers, and mostly about her vintage fashion business, Boogie West Style. Hi Zinhle, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me and coming all the way from Boksburg to Randburg.
So far, tell me about it.
I know, it's insane. It really is insane. So can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? How old are you?
Okay.
And yeah, we'll start there.
Okay, so as you said, I'm Zinhle and I'm all the way originally from the Eastern Cape.
Okay.
In a township called Dantsane. It's one of the second biggest township in the country.
Oh really? That's where Khayelanga is from, right?
Yes. That's where I grew up, but I moved to Johannesburg in 2007 for high school. So I would say now I'm more of a Joburger than an East London girl.
Like, I never even thought that you were from the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
Like, I just assumed you're from Joburg.
I have a big city girl mentality.
Okay.
So like, yeah, but I feel home is my home in Eastern Cape where I grew up. That's where home. I don't feel home in Joburg. I'm 26 years old. I am a free-spirited person.
Yes, I can tell.
I'm very free-spirited, open-minded. I don't box myself into any categories. What else about me? I studied politics. Yeah.
Where did you study politics?
At the University of Pretoria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to get out of Joburg. I'm always looking to broaden my life experience, so
yes.
I never want to be in one place. I want to be in unfamiliar environments.
That's good. You're a nomad.
Yes, I am. And yeah, so I'm a free-spirited person, but I'm also very analytical and I like to reason, debate, very opinionated person.
What made you study politics?
I studied politics because, okay, well, actually, it's a funny story. I closed my eyes.
Yeah.
And I did the whole twirling finger thing on all the courses I was eligible to study.
Yeah.
And I just picked it just like that.
What was your secondary one, your backup plan? Politics?
I didn't have a backup plan. I would have done the same, like, did it again. Like, that's how, I didn't feel like studying was my purpose to be. It was just something I had to do.
You had to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
understandable.
So I took a gap year, actually. And I had gotten accepted for law adverts, and I'm so glad I didn't take that offer, because first of all, I was running away from the fact that it was in Joburg.
Yeah.
And I was familiar with Joburg, and two of my best friends were already going to WITS, so I was like, I want an unfamiliar vibe, I want to make new friends. And then I started dating someone who was studying or finishing up his law degree, and I attended a couple of his classes and I saw that this was not for me.
That's nice that you at least didn't waste a year.
Right?
Studying something that you're just like,
yeah, I was like,
no,
this is whack. Like, I'm not doing this. So yeah, I studied politics, but I haven't been doing anything in politics. I really feel my passion and my goals align more with a creative profession, and so that's where I've been directing my life currently.
Okay, and speaking of a creative profession, do you have a dream job or dream jobs?
I definitely have dream jobs. So
yeah, that's good. I don't believe in having
one job. Yeah, like for the rest of your life, this is who I am. Like, no.
And also, like, you think about how the world changes so fast all the time.
Exactly.
That some of the jobs that we have now didn't exist 15 years ago or even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So we don't even know what type of jobs will be available in the next 10 years. So
okay, so I think the main one dream job I have is to be like a creative director for a fashion house.
That's cool. An international one.
A very international one.
Luxury, of course.
Well, it doesn't have to be international per se. I mean, like, the few designers, South African designers who are doing great things, like Tebe Magugu, Maxhosa,
and Rich.
Yeah, they are international designers, yes, but like, from my perspective, or I'm a local person, to me they're local, so
yeah,
I wouldn't mind to work for their fashion houses, you know. So
absolutely.
But yeah, I definitely dream of being part of the international fashion landscape. My other dream job would be to be perhaps like a tastemaker of some sorts, but not necessarily like a influencer, if I could say that. Maybe I would become like a journalist, a fashion journalist.
Okay.
A lifestyle journalist. So yeah, for a publication of a great, like an international publication, that would be
yeah
a dream job for me as well.
That's cool. I also have a lot of dream jobs. Yeah, like I said, I don't believe in having one dream job. And yeah, we evolve as people so much. So.
Yeah. And entrepreneur, I actually want to be like, okay, I don't like the word mogul. I don't know why. It's very intimidating for me. But I do have a major dream of having a business, a very successful business in the tech space.
Yeah.
That is going to create like hundreds of jobs for people in my hometown.
That's brilliant, especially yeah, because they, I mean, we need more women in the tech space, especially Black South African women. That would be great.
Yeah. So those, I would say, like, yeah, those are my main dream jobs right now that I think about on a regular, like, oh, I wish I could just do this or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And now on a lighter note, if I were to ask you what type of shopper you are, or what type of shopper you consider yourself to be, rather. So would you describe yourself as a sustainably conscious shopper, as an impulse shopper, or a trend conscious shopper?
Whoa, okay. I'm a bit of both, so a trend and a conscious shopper.
A sustainably conscious.
Sustainably conscious. So cool. A little bit of both, yeah. Because it's a bit difficult to really be as sustainably conscious as we would like, because most retail outlets just aren't they're not serious about, you know, being sustainable. Their production is exploitative, and
yeah,
so there's literally no options. Even the ones that do have let's say a range of, okay, this is our sustainable,
like H&M.
Yes, like H&M, or even just range, like food, for example, like we do free range chicken, whatever. It's yeah, only just a portion, but the peanut butter and whatever is manufactured in, you know,
that's true,
practices that are exploitive. So
yeah, I think also with me, when I think about sustainability, I think of it as such a big and overwhelming term. And also, like you said, we just, like, it's easier to just put it on the fast fashion brands. Like, okay, it's their business. It's their, because they are creating the most problems. Mm. But, I mean, we are all involved.
Yeah,
we are really actually all involved. We're all going to fast fashion stores. Yeah. And, I mean, I'm not saying that people shouldn't buy.
I think it's the way we shop that we can influence how sustainable people are or retailers are.
Yeah,
we need to just shift how we shop, and not necessarily what we shop
exactly,
but how we shop,
because a lot of us buy on impulse.
Yeah, just things you don't need, mm-hmm, just to say you have it. Oh, like your earphones work perfectly, but you need AirPods. Why?
Exactly. Like, and then also the way we dispose of those things that we think we don't need or stop working.
Exactly.
We just throw them in the dustbin and we don't really care what happens to them.
Mm.
So yeah, it is something that we need to take responsibility for.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
So you have a vintage fashion business, which you recently started,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, I do.
So can you tell me about that and how it's going?
Okay, so I started this vintage fashion business in June. It's called Mukiwe Style.
Okay.
Basically, it's
a place where I source vintage and contemporary clothes that are pre-loved.
Yeah.
So by pre-loved, it's a term that like somebody else used to own those clothes, and I will source and pick what I think is still good, in good condition, and resell, basically. And it comes from my passion for thrifting. Like, I love fashion.
Yeah.
And I realized that the only way for me to really explore my style and have a unique style, because I feel like we should all express our individuality.
Definitely.
Through whatever way. And for me, I express it through my style. And I wasn't able to do that by shopping at Mr. Price, Woolies.
Yeah.
I just felt like I look like everybody else.
Exactly. And especially if you buy something with a print. If we go to Mr. Price right now and you buy a dress that is printed.
Dude.
Best believe.
I've been seeing this other nice shirts, like, I even saw some queer guys wearing, yeah. And my friend also has. I was like, oh, this shirt.
Yeah.
Can't stand it. But anyway, yeah, it was really irritating me. I just hate maybe the baddie look as well. Like, I'm like, why are people so trend conscious? It's like, it doesn't.
You all want to fit in. It's about wanting to fit in.
Yeah. So, I was heavily thrifting all the time just to get those really awesome pieces that are very unique,
yeah,
and express my style. And I would always get compliments on those pieces. Like, so every time I'm wearing vintage stuff, like, somebody will be like, oh my gosh, where did you get that? and I was like, I thrifted it, like, this here or there. Like, I can't tell you like where to get it or whatever. Like, yeah, it would be a difficult process. But when I got it, you know, you wouldn't find anything
you're
like
not
it.
Going to find, yeah, it.
So yeah, and then I had an excess of those clothes, and I didn't know what to do with them.
Okay.
And I had a lot of time. I wasn't working. I decided, okay, let me start selling some of the clothes to my friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very interested. And then I was like, okay, let me just take the leap and not wait for some perfect, I don't know, space or platform to sell these clothes. Let me just start with what I have. So I started an Instagram
page. That's a great place to start.
Yes, yeah. And that's where I sell my clothes. Yeah.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask you, like, I don't know, everybody has a different story about where they find their vintage clothing and where they sell, but yeah, yours is because you just had an excess.
Yeah.
Okay. And where would you go if you wanted to buy more stock?
Okay, so I go to different places. In town, Joburg, CBD.
Oh, you're brave. Ooh, yeah, Joburg town.
Too. I had to, like, that's the cheapest you can get. Like, so if I want to make a profit, I would have to go there.
So how do you do it? Do you go to, like, stores and buy individual items, or do you go to those places where they bring in the bales, and then you just buy a bale, and then, but then what if you find stuff that is just not cute? And like,
sometimes it's a touch and go situation. I haven't found a right formula of doing it, because sometimes I get so exhausted. I'm like, you look for an hour and there's really nothing
that worthy. You would even buy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's exhausting, but I try to, like, sometimes, because I want to still enjoy it as well.
Yes.
I don't want to feel like, oh my god, dread it, because I feel like I'm not gonna pick pieces that will speak to what I want to bring to my customers.
Yeah.
So I just go whenever. I don't have a specific time that I go. It's like whenever I think, okay, let me go look, I go in the morning or late afternoon.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I dig through the clothes. So it's Dunusa, and then
so hospice. For the people who don't understand what Dunusa is basically bending over and exposing your bum.
Yes, yeah, bending over, yeah,
bending over and just digging,
which is what we have to do when we
and digging through all the stuff. Sometimes you find interesting stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I also like to thrift in my travels. I travel a lot locally. Specifically Cape Town, because they have like a whole scene of vintage and contemporary reselling. It's a whole thing. Everyone wears
to an extent where the stores, a lot of the stores, let's say on Long Street, they're also expensive. Like,
yes, that's the thing about vintage, actually.
It is so expensive. But I don't mind. I don't think it's overpriced. It's, you can't get those clothes. You don't know where to get those clothes. You don't have the capacity or the, like you said, like, I'm brave for going to town. You will not go to town.
Yeah, like, I don't want to spend an hour digging through. And some of those clothes are dirty.
Dirty, like dirty as clothes. Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. So you are paying for the convenience, and first of all,
that you are providing,
and a unique piece. A lot of the pieces are very high quality.
That is true,
because like these days fast fashion, the clothes are very low quality. They switch shops, you know. It's all about getting the highest turnover, exactly,
and quickly.
Yeah, so you're paying for that value, service and convenience, so it's worth it. But yeah, so Cape Town is one of the places I do like to go. Whenever I go, I will thrift. So even my hometown in East London, when I go visit, I will thrift and bring back some stuff. And I'm surprised. I used to think that it would be so much cheaper. It's not. Like, the scene, guys, is booming when it comes. Yeah, the scene is booming. People buy secondhand clothing. Like, working class people, like,
yeah,
middle class people.
So good. Honestly, it looks amazing.
I see so many middle class people in my hometown who work for government. They buy their work clothes
secondhand
yeah, places. They'll find a nice, good quality blazer. You know, I've seen a Hugo Boss black dress, like, beautiful, in tip top shape, in this place called a highway, which is our, I can say what, like, north, yeah.
But I've seen in some of, like, some of the places, you get some Zara clothing, you do get some designer and really, like, high-end clothing. So it's not all just brands that you don't know, clothes that are just discarded. They really are, like you said, good quality clothing.
Yeah, they are.
That's so cool, man. That, you must take me. One day you must take me to Joburg.
I will.
I've never been a fan. I've never been a fan of Joburg CBD, but
I think you'll enjoy the experience. Like, I don't know, sometimes I behave like a tourist. I don't know what's wrong with me. But, like, I enjoy, like, the culture of it. Like, the way the mamas are very self-conscious about what they pick and buy. So they're constantly asking validation from the younger girls who are digging with them.
They're like, that's so
what do you think of this? Do you think this will suit me? You know, like, constantly asking for validation. The men who are selling, they have, like, it sounds like their own language.
So it's like an ecosystem now that
it's
buyers and sellers and everybody in between.
Some people even know each other. I've got a friend who also sells, so I started out with her, but she couldn't make time because she was working full-time, so we decided to just part ways and not continue selling together. So she thrifts so much that some of the guys, they know her. They call her by name, and I'm just like, girl.
It's cool because they've seen her style.
Yes.
And now they can like, set aside the clothes that
No, they don't. They're so serious. They don't set aside clothes. They don't negotiate. That was the most surprising thing for me. They don't negotiate prices. Really? And I was like,
how much is a veil? How much is a huge, like, my friend also started she started an Instagram boutique as well with thrifted clothing. But I didn't get to ask her how much a bale is.
So I don't buy, like, a whole bale. Like, I literally source individual handpick items because, I don't know, I just don't trust, like, the quality, and, you know, not everything is proper. And I haven't established, like, the whole trail of how, where the clothes come from and built those kind of relationships.
Will you ever, though? Will you ever really know where the clothes come from?
I just know that they donated clothes.
You see, you don't but really know.
I've watched a short video on YouTube, like docu-series or something. And you think that it's not a donate. It's actually, they're starting to sell now. Like, so they sell the industry. Let's say the guys that who have the bales in town, they have bought in bulk from the donation places in Europe or America. Okay. So it's not a free donate, like, they've actually bought, but obviously for steal. But yeah, they sell the clothes, and apparently the charities say they realize that they can use the money to better serve the charities rather than just donating the clothes to homeless. Like, what are homeless people going to do with like a gazillion clothes?
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's so much clothing that they do, people donate in first world countries.
Yeah, so I guess it's good that it's the clothes don't get dumped. They get repurposed. And
yes, and they serve another life.
Exactly, you know. And they make people happy.
Yes,
they make people definitely very happy. Do you repurpose the clothing that you buy? So do you make a pair of pants, a skirt, or do you...
I haven't gotten to that level of thrifting or... But I do want to, like, I definitely want to teach myself to tailor the clothes. I have a lot of ideas sometimes for the pieces, like, okay, this would actually look so much better as an off-the-shoulder top, or to cater even to the current trends and making my clothes more marketable.
Exactly. And also creating your own brand identity.
Yes, yes. So that's where I wanted to go, definitely. So I want to teach myself how to tailor and perhaps get a machine. A friend of mine suggested that I just partner up with the tailor.
Yeah,
so I'm also considering that, definitely,
because then you don't have to do it yourself, and it just takes the pressure off of you. Just focus on growing the business.
So once the business starts growing and I start making a substantial profit, I will definitely start looking at expanding the brand and repurposing stuff.
That's very cool. So where I met Zintle was at the Pox in Dunkeld. It was a vintage market.
Artisanal market.
It was a very cool market. I love the Pox. I love how they've turned someone's house into a venue. So because where I first met you was at the Pox, do you recommend that people take their brands off Instagram and have like these offline
experiences? I would definitely recommend. I think for someone maybe who's not, which is me, like not very knowledgeable on how to build an Instagram brand, just starting from the ground up, like interacting with customers face to face can do wonders for your business, I think. So I would definitely recommend that. And also just to understand the customer, like having that relationship, seeing how they react to the clothes. It validated me in the sense that, like, I'm not just doing this for the sake of doing it. There's a need for it.
There is a need.
Like seeing people being happy, like, oh my gosh, this is so nice. Oh, I need this. I'm like, I can't believe somebody thinks my taste is like worthy of to be in their closets and for them to wear it. So that was very validating for me to continue. And yeah, I would definitely recommend people to take their brands off the internet, get personal with your customers or your potential customers, and build those relationships very intimately. Like, I think that'll make your brand stronger.
And the nice thing about the Pox and how it was set up is that obviously there are people on the left and the right, so you can speak to people who have been in the game for a longer time than you have, and
so many
share ideas.
That day was my first day at the market. Seeing the other ladies who sell vintage, it was so interesting to see how they navigate. They had specific customers. They're like, I know this is my usual customer, this is my loyal customer, they always come. It was really like inspiring, and also just understanding that the vintage space is it's not linear, like it's quite dynamic. There's different types of vintage. So some people, I would say my vintage clothes are very vintage contemporary, so I'm picking vintage clothes that fit today. So for example, currently the trends are very 90s driven. Mr. Price actually just released some 70s fashion projects, so I would thrift things that are in line with what's currently trendy.
Exactly,
but it's vintage clothes
and better quality.
So it looks like it's not vintage, it looks like oh, this is what we wear, but it's vintage clothing from that era, but it's just that it's trendy right now. Whereas another person will specifically source clothing that is looks vintage, where when a person's wearing it, you're like, whose grandma did you get that from? You know, yeah, so it was very interesting seeing high-end vintage as well, like brands like Louis Vuitton. Someone would specifically, their market is luxury, high-end vintage stuff. So
that's beautiful.
Like I was very inspired by everyone, and seeing that there's a space for different kinds of vintage sellers.
Yes. Have you been to, there's a place in, I think it's Sophia Town. I don't know if it's Sophia Town specifically, but it's close to there, like just behind Northcliffe. There's this road, this stretch of road where they have like vintage and antique furniture. It's just such a beautiful place.
I haven't been.
Like,
you're putting me on.
You need to go there. It's just like wonderful.
Okay, I think, have you been?
Yes, I have been.
And did you find gems? Like,
it's just, I just looked, but I didn't like really.
Maybe that's what we should do, like go, so I can show you how to see like some, if something is worth your time or the quality and like the process.
Because also, like, I'll be honest, I used to work as a stylist. I've been in the fashion industry, but I hate shopping.
Yes,
I honestly hate shopping. Like
a stylist that hates shopping, hey.
Ex-stylist, but I honestly hate shopping. And I'm into vintage as well. I steal my mother's clothes. My mom also, sometimes she goes to like a vintage store, like at her work, a place of work, they have like a vintage market every week, and then she brings the clothes back. Like I haven't been ever, and my mom has been shopping there for years. I've never been.
You just shop in a class. She's doing the work for you.
She
sources the clothes and you take. No, you're lucky, girl. I wish I had someone, like relatives that have like vintage. I'm always jealous. I'm like, what? Like, I have a friend who was telling me that their mom's has like a stack of vintage clothing in suitcases.
Yeah.
And then she also has her mom's.
Yeah.
I'm like
I inherited some of my grand's clothing. My grand passed away in 2010. She was 96 when she passed away, and she used to work as a seamstress.
Oh my word.
So, and like even to the day she died, she was like the most fashionable, most classy woman I've ever met in my life.
I'm sure your closet looks amazing.
So my mom, so like a lot of the stuff that my grand had, I have now, or my mom has, and I'm waiting for my mom to gain weight, or I'm waiting for her to be like, I no longer want this.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, I definitely wear my mother's clothing. And then there's a dress that my paternal grandmother gave my maternal grandmother, and then when she passed away, my mom got the dress, and then now it's too small for her, so it is mine. So
how's the story? Don't you love the fact that like the story behind the clothing as well?
That is what I'm in love
with.
Or
the life that clothing had, and now you have a piece of that.
Exactly. That is story. My favorite, because I've got, like, there's a clutch that I have. It's a brown clutch that was my mom's clutch for her wedding, on her wedding day. And I have that, and like every time people see it, I'm like, yeah, it was my mom's. This is what she used on her wedding day. And I want to keep it and preserve it for my kids one day.
Yeah.
Even if they're not into fashion, but like they will know and still have a piece story of their grandmother. So in terms of where to go, like you knew that you had to, how did you even find out that you had to apply at the parks to get in and sell?
I just searched online, honestly, like markets, and then just started emailing a couple of markets, and I was very surprised. Like I was so naive. I thought I would just get into all of them. I was so naive, and I realized that
I also would have thought the same thing.
Yeah, no, it's difficult. They really retain the stalls that they have. It's not easy to get in. Even just like vendors, you know, on Maboneng, there's vendors outside.
Yes.
Yeah, even that, I was surprised. I thought you just like put your chair, put your
ankle,
you know, gazebo, and you in business. Like, nope, darling, this is someone's space. And when that someone like takes a break or leaves, they usually bring their own person. So,
but there's like a waiting list of people.
Yeah. Jeez. But I was really lucky with this vintage and artisanal markets. And it happens every 2 months. And I also love that it's specifically the clientele that wants vintage and artisanal stuff. Yeah. So it's not like I can go to the market and not sell anything. Like,
yeah,
it's guaranteed that I will sell something. So that's
cool. So yeah. When is the next one, and where are you going for the next one? Where can people find you?
The next one is going to be on the 24th of November. And
okay, so that's in 9 days.
Yeah, and it's going to be in Parktown. What's the specific address? Oh my word.
So it changes every...
Yes, it changes every market. Okay. So this will be my second time. And I'll definitely be on my A game. My clothes are going to be popping. Like,
girl,
everything is just going to be amazing. I'm going to be really pushing the brand Mukiwe.
Yeah.
I just want it to be visible, like, what I'm about. And also sharing other services that I offer, which is styling and personal shopping.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I just thought to diversify. People are always complimenting my sense of style.
Yeah.
And would always say, oh my gosh, you need to pick something for me. And I was like, okay, why not? You know, so I'm offering that as a service, and I will be heavily pushing that at the next market.
Oh, yay. That's awesome. Okay, so you said it's the 24th in Parktown. And people can just go onto your
page,
Instagram,
yeah, Instagram,
to find out the details of
yes.
when it is, what time,
and the exact address. Yeah,
the exact address. Okay, so where can people find you on and order from you online?
You can find me on Instagram at mukiwe.style.
Okay,
or you can just like personally send me a message on my cell, which is 071.
You're brave to be giving out your cell phone number.
8841524. I trust your audience that it's like legit, not crazy ass people. So yeah, just call me, text me, or go on my page and directly DM me. My email address is also available, zintlenjigelana@gmail.com.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. That's really exciting. And I wish you all the best for your business and for all the other things, all the other endeavors that you plan to take on. And thank you so much once again for joining me. I can't wait to see the growth
thank
of US Style.
I'm so happy to just speak about my journey, even though it's like I'm still an infant, a baby at this, but like it's giving me such great perspective of where I'm going with this and why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I'm really grateful just
you're
to talk
welcome.
About what I'm doing, because sometimes you just get lost in the
and
groove
everybody,
of doing things.
Everybody starts somewhere.
Yes.
Everybody starts at infant stage.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please remember to rate this episode and to subscribe to the podcast for episode updates. Otherwise, you can follow me on Instagram at lindo_butelezi, and I'll catch you on the next one.